got your attention, didn't I? So I need you to put on your seatbelt this morning. We're going to walk into a topic this morning that can be controversial a little bit in the church. So we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit, and this morning we're going to be talking about the baptism of Jesus, and we're going to talk about your baptism in the Spirit, which brings great discussion. So here you go. Check this out. So these are the verses we're going to kind of be camping on with, hang out with this one. It says Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, our favorite person was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, 'You're my boy, and I am so proud of you.'" Jesus' baptism at the Jordan River. Check this out. And Jesus, so after that, Jesus returned to Galilee, and you got to underline this, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. He began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed," anyone? "And to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." He closed the book, he gave it back to the attendants, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And as their jaws dropped 2,000 years ago, our eyes are lifted toward heaven. Father, we pray that you would bless this assembly this morning. As we gather in the house of the Lord, we gather for purpose this morning. We come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We come to learn at the feet of the rabbi, the one who walks on water and raises the dead, the one who heals the lame and the sick, the one who hung on a cross for us, who died, was buried, and rose again and is coming back again. Jesus, may your Spirit teach us this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'd help the person behind the pulpit this morning to speak clearly and without error, and that you would do this for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus and no one else. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Amen. And you all may be seated, and good morning. So, good morning. Let's talk about Jesus this morning. So it's been a tough week for law enforcement, my brothers and sisters. A lot of them have been shot and killed this week. Our country is on course of maybe having one of its most deadliest years for law enforcement. And that's why you need to pray for them, because they have the most difficult job in America, in my opinion. And so I've been a police chaplain since 2006. And I'm just there to pray for these guys and encourage these guys and to ride in the car with them. And once they get past being scared that they're sitting next to the chaplain, and what did I do to get in trouble to have him ride with us, almost like a principal. I was riding with this guy once, and we knew he was going through a hard time. Chaplain, ride with this guy. So I was doing that, and he didn't like me in his car for the first 3 hours. But once he found out I wasn't going to bite him, you know, we began talking. And at one point, and he goes, "So you're a pastor at the Woodbridge?" "Yeah." He goes, "Pastor, what's your church in business for? Isn't that a good question? What's your church in business for?" And I looked at him, I said, "Well, our church is in business to help people meet Jesus and know Jesus and follow Jesus." And he looked at me and he goes, "That makes sense." And then he started telling me about his grandma, who was always praying for him. And when he was a kid, he went to church. And he's on his spiritual journey. We're all on ours. Here's the point. Knowing Jesus is eternal life. Jesus says, this is eternal life that you may know me. Knowing Christ is knowing life. And to meet Jesus and know Jesus and follow Jesus is the journey for all of our lives. Now here's the beautiful thing. And when we look at the person of Jesus, God just didn't give us one gospel. He gave us four so we could get a total picture of who Jesus is. And when you unpack Jesus, when you begin studying him, reading him, looking at the most influential person in human history, when you unpack Jesus, his life is filled with mystery. His life is filled with awe. Do I hear an amen? Interesting for Jesus. He lived in total obscurity for the first 30 years of his life. Jesus, the one born of a virgin birth in Bethlehem, the one who was raised in Nazareth, Joseph's son, for 30 years, stayed in Nazareth as a carpenter. And poor Mary, knowing that her son was the Messiah, and waited till he was 30 before he really began his ministry. Jesus, at the age of 30, leaves the hammer and the chisel, and he goes to the Jordan River where John the Baptist is baptizing, and he is... John and Jesus are the prophetic 1-2 punch of Isaiah 40. And Jesus goes to John. And as Jesus is baptized at the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit, did you read that? Came upon John, upon Jesus. He came up out of the water. And there you have the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father says, that's my boy. The scriptures are very clear. It says that from that moment, Jesus returned from the Jordan River different. He returned in, the scripture says, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went to the Jordan River one way. He came back another. Jesus went and began doing miracles. He turns the water into wine. He goes down into Capernaum and does some miracles. And he ends up going back to Nazareth, his hometown. And as Jesus went into the hometown, people are hearing that he turned water into wine. People are hearing what's Jesus up to? Jesus returns to his hometown. He goes on Saturday to the synagogue. They hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus scrolls, now we just find the chapter and verse, Jesus scrolls to Isaiah 61. And as he begins unpacking Isaiah 61, he finds the spot, and let me just read it again. So Jesus finds Isaiah 61, and he begins reading out loud, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Me who? "Because he's anointed me." Me who? "To preach the gospel to the poor." People, when was Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit? "He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendants. He sat down and eyes of all the people in the synagogue are fixed on Jesus. And he began to say to them, "This scripture, 700 years ago it was written, 700 years later today, it's being fulfilled right now." Jesus opened a messianic passage speaking about one day when the Messiah will come with Holy Spirit anointing, with Holy Spirit power. And Jesus, 700 years later, in a synagogue, he says, "It's me. I'm the promised one. Holy Spirit's coming upon me to do supernatural work." Jesus had done supernatural work. He was going to continue to do supernatural work. He ends up hanging on a cross, doing really amazing supernatural work. He arose from the dead, ascended into heaven, coming back again. He's Jesus. Have you guys met Jesus? Have you heard about him? I want you to write this down. If you're going to take notes of me this morning, here is a theological truth, okay? Here it comes. Write this down. You have notes in your worship folder for those you use online. Every miracle Jesus did was done after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River. Every miracle Jesus did was after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everyone, not before. He had never done a miracle until he was baptized, until the Holy Spirit had come upon him, until Jesus was anointed in the Spirit. In the second century, there was fake gospels being written about Jesus, like the Gospel of Thomas. And the Gospel of Thomas talks about Jesus as a child making clay pigeons on the Sabbath day and clapping his hands and having them fly away. It says that he raised a boy from the dead that had fallen off a roof. It says that his dad had cut a beam too short and Jesus supernaturally extended the beam. In this gospel, it says that Jesus cursed a child that was bothering him, and this kid withered like a barren tree on the spot, right? It says another child bumped into Jesus, was treating him badly, and he died. The early Christians called these forgeries. They called them fake. The Da Vinci Code, remember that? It's bogus, it's fake. False writings being written using false names like Thomas, who was dead 100 years. It's like Thomas was dead and then 100 years later he had a book. Hey, if Abraham Lincoln had written a book, a brand new book, would you all buy it? Wouldn't you all know that it's a forgery, a fake? See, every early Christian knew that Jesus' ministry of power began at the age of 30 when he had gone to the Jordan River. See, Jesus goes to the Jordan River one way, but he leaves another. The Holy Spirit had come upon him theologically, and every miracle that Jesus did from that moment on is in the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. Miracles, healing, resurrection from the dead, all by the power of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus that happened after his baptism. Very important that you know this. So, brother and sister, why is it so important for the Holy Spirit to fall upon Jesus? What's so important about that? Everything. 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 Note number two, the Holy Spirit is associated with great power. The third person of the triunity of the Godhead is known of great power. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" The Spirit of God. When you read your Bibles, you'll see that the power of the Holy Spirit was active in creation. The Holy Spirit is active when he would fall upon the prophets of old and they do amazing miracles like Judges, like Samson and so forth. And at Jesus' baptism, at the age of 30, his life takes a radical turn from years of obscurity to empowerment of becoming the Messiah. From years, Jesus of Nazareth becomes Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the Christ. Jesus' life radically changes at his baptism. It's huge. Every miracle that Jesus did, as you read in the gospel, it says Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Get that. Just put that in the bank. Okay? Cash that one in. Now here's the beauty. Jesus said to his disciples the night before he died, the night before he's hanging to the cross, he's going to the cross, he tells his disciples, I'm sending somebody, John 14:16-17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, another one. Who's the one? Jesus and another one. Another person of deity, of the oneness of the triunity of God, another helper. That he may be with you for how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you. And here's the cool thing. He's going to be inside of you. Very incredible teachings of Jesus. The helper, the counselor, or the advocate, the Greek word is parakletos, right? Which literally means a person summoned to one's aid. The Holy Spirit is being sent to you to your aid, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit has come upon me. Guess what? I'm sending the Holy Spirit upon you. So the Holy Spirit is power. Does anyone in here need spiritual power? Anyone? Anyone? Spiritual power to do spiritual work, because Jesus did. And He knows that we will too. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triunity of the Godhead. It's really important for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. Jesus says, unless you are born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Does anyone want to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Sound important? Yes. You need the Spirit. You need to be born again of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triunity of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is with people. He is inside of you. The moment that you accept Christ, He dwells within you. He's with you. He will be in you. The Holy Spirit is somebody that you need to walk with. The Holy Spirit, as He dwells with you, He will manifest fruits in your life and you will change radically. The Holy Spirit even will impart gifts into your life as you serve Christ. You need to know this. The Holy Spirit is power in your life. The Holy Spirit is power in your life. I want to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you is of great power. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Would you say that with me? Can we say this verse out loud together? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Did you get that? God has not given you a spirit of fear. Anyone afraid? He's given you a spirit of power, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit to love people that don't deserve to be loved. And the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to think clearly, to have spiritual discernment and discipline. See, Jesus, after the cross, arose from the dead. And it's really interesting. When you read Jesus, it says that when Jesus arose from the dead, He was talking with His disciples, and they were like, okay, I get it. So you had to die on the cross to take away our sin. Awesome. How about the kingdom of God now? How about you coming, Jesus, and having the angels from heaven coming and overthrowing the Romans? And let's have a messianic kingdom on planet Earth. Is it now at this time that you're going to set up your kingdom? Right? And Jesus, listen to this. Acts 1:4-8. As Jesus is just getting ready to ascend into heaven, He says, He's gathered them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard from me. John the Baptist baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, I'm not going to tell you. It's not for you to know the times, right? The Father is fixed by own authority. But listen, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Remember my baptism? Well, the Holy Spirit's coming on you, and you're going to receive power. And then you're going to be my witnesses in this city. And then you're going to go to Judea, Samaria, and also China, the Philippines, Europe, the Roman Empire, around the world. That's what I will tell you. Power. What kind of power are we talking about? It's the Greek word dunamis. Do you know what we get the English word coming out of that is? Dynamite. Has anyone ever seen dynamite go off? God's given dynamite. Dynamite. We're talking about great power. The same power that can raise Jesus from the dead. The same power that can transform a life like your life. The same power that can transform a life like mine. There is an amazing person in the Bible, and if there's a person that you could look at who they were before the Holy Spirit came on them and who they were after the Holy Spirit came on them, and you want to see a change, I suggest, and we're going to look at this just for a little bit this morning, Peter. Peter the fisherman. Who was Peter the fisherman before the Holy Spirit came upon him, and who was Peter the fisherman after the Holy Spirit came upon him? When you look closely at the life of Peter, the foul-mouthed fisherman is what I call him. He's from Galilee. Before Jesus went to the cross, Peter was looking out for his own interests. He was lobbying for position in the kingdom that Jesus was going to set up. He was scared for himself, and he found himself denying that he even knew Jesus, and he ended up calling curses down on himself if he did. He was a coward at the crucifixion. Someday you'll ask Peter, was that your... He'll tell you, that wasn't my finest hour. But then you look at the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, and you'll find in Acts 1, Jesus says, wait. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon his disciples, and Peter stood up, man, and he began preaching, and 3,000 people accepted Jesus. That's Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to go to the temple in Jerusalem for 9 o'clock, the hour of prayer, and as they're walking in through the golden gate, it says that there was this person that was crippled and lame, and he was holding out his hand, begging for money, and Peter comes walking up. And he just sensed the power of the Holy Spirit. And he tells this dude, I get goosebumps thinking about it, silver or gold I do not possess, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the dude jumped up in front of everybody. Peter just, the power of, God just healed a human body through Peter. And it's, this guy was leaping at the temple. And all these people were gathering around, and Peter just began preaching Jesus, okay? And as he's preaching Jesus, he gets busted. Acts 4, 1 through 8. Okay, would you please read Acts chapter 4 this week and take a clean look at Peter? It says, and I just want to read it because it's so good. It says, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and now the number of men came to be 5,000. So Peter's preaching some pretty good messages, right? And on the next day, the rulers and the elders and the scribes are gathered together in Jerusalem, and all the bigwigs are there. Everybody that killed Jesus is there. Annas the high priest was there, Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, can you imagine being placed in the center of all the people that had killed Jesus are now put you in the center and they're quizzing you? Would anybody be scared? And when they had placed him in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? And then Peter, and I need you to get this, filled. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, and he gave a message. Peter said, there's no other name given amongst mankind in which mankind might be saved than the name of Jesus. He began preaching Jesus to Caiaphas the high priest and to Annas. These are all the people that killed Jesus, and they've shown to what level they're willing to keep their power. And now Peter's sitting in their midst? Did you notice? Peter isn't afraid. Would you be afraid to tick them off? Peter wasn't. You religious leaders, You who sent Jesus to be crucified, He came back to life, He arose from the dead, and the miracle of this man being healed and standing before you today was done in the name of Jesus. And you better listen to Him, He who performs miracles like this, because salvation is found in no one else. People, it's a great text. You got to read Acts 4 this week. How's that for Holy Spirit power? Anyone? Being manifested in a mere mortal. Not bad, right? And it says that they let him go. They warn him, you better not talk anymore. Good luck. And he goes home. Actually, I like this. As he was preaching, and you got to get this. It says in Acts 4:13, they're going, this guy looks familiar. Where have I seen this dude? Peter. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Don't you love that? Dude, I remember you. You've been with Jesus. Could that be the greatest compliment? Couldn't it? If someone was to go, man, I think you've been with Jesus. That's right. They go back. Man, these guys, the religious leaders go, man, these guys look familiar. But there's something different about them. The Spirit's come upon them. The Holy Spirit wasn't just indwelling Peter, but they were filled. And they warn him, you better be quiet. They went back to the gathering of believers and told them what God did. Hey, you didn't come for dinner last night. We were thrown in jail at the temple. Really? Yeah, we kind of heard about that. Acts 4, 29 and 31. You got to read Acts 4. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. They gathered with the disciples. They go, Lord, take care of those guys' threats. And grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence. Lord, they've threatened us to stop talking about you, but we're asking that you would give us confidence to continue to speak. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservant may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. So people, what happened to them after they prayed? Holy Spirit came upon them and there was a boldness. They were filled. I want you to take notes of me this morning. This is important. There are two workings of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, a coming upon, as Jesus said. He is with you. He will be in you. An indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Note number three, there's a permanence in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at conversion. He isn't leaving. There is a permanence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at conversion. And there is note number four, there's an available filling of the Holy Spirit when we submit to Him. Do you understand? Indwelling, filling. Say it with me. Indwelling, filling. The indwelling is permanent. Filling, there's an available filling. Note number five, believers may lose the filling, but never the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is so important that you get this. See, for Peter, his baptism came 50 days after Passover at a place called Pentecost. And he was baptized once. You'll only read Peter being baptized once. And after that, it says all through the book of Acts, he was filled, he was filled, he was filled, he was filled. He was baptized once, and filling came after that. How many baptisms are there in the Bible, people? How many baptisms of the Spirit are there in the Bible, people? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:4-6 says, therefore, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were also called into the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one. Everybody do this, one. One time, one baptism. One God and Father over all and in all. See, Jesus, John the Baptist says that there's one's coming that's greater than me, and he's going to baptize the world with the Holy Spirit. When does the Holy Spirit come in you? For Peter, it was 50 days after Jesus hung on a cross. Not Passover, but at Pentecost. But once it came, it was filled ever since. For you and for me, when does the Holy Spirit indwell us, fall upon us, baptize us? Anyone? Ephesians 1:13, you should memorize this one. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you understand? See the sequence of salvation? After listening to the gospel, the good news of your salvation, He hung on the cross for your sins. He died so you don't have to. You don't get to go to heaven by your work, you go to heaven by His. He takes all your sin upon Himself. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God. He pays the penalty of sin. He is the sin offering. All the stuff that you've done that's offended God in word, action, thought, and deed, Jesus takes it all on Himself. How much of your sin does Jesus take on the cross? All. All means all, and that's all that all means. The sin that you do next Thursday at 7:30. When you repent, you should. He already covered it. He paid for your sins. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Ah, but you have to believe. Once you've been believed, the Bible says at that moment, you are sealed in the promised Holy Spirit that was given so long ago. You are born again, born anew, born from above. The Holy Spirit comes on you when you believe. It's different with Peter. It was sequence. After Pentecost, we are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Once He's inside of you, people, you have choices to make. You can walk in harmony with the Holy Spirit and be filled, Ephesians 1:18, just like Peter was filled. Or you can choose to quench or suppress Him in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Dr. Wilkins, remember him saying, Frank, he goes, let me explain to you what quenching the Holy Spirit is. He says, have you ever taken a water hose and turned on the water and then you kink it? You're quenching it. And it just kind of dribbles out. He says, we can do this with the power of God in our lives. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can just quench God's Spirit. We can grieve God's Spirit. Or we can walk in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Does this make sense to you? People, I use this in an analogy in my marriage. I am married, but I can ruin my marriage. I can have my wife and I fighting every night. I can quench the power of our marriage, of what God made it to be and should be. Or I can just let this, my relationship with my wife flow, and this marriage can be all that God created it to be. I have choices once I'm married. See, you have choices once the Spirit of God dwells in you. You can be walking with the Holy Spirit, in power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, or you can just grieve Him and quench the power of God in your life. You have all of the Holy Spirit in you, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? See, you're the variable. You get to choose. Do you want to walk with the Holy Spirit or do you not? Do you want to have power in your life or do you not? Do you want to grieve the Holy Spirit or do you want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit? Does this make sense? See, people, when I'm sensing the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life, there's a closeness with the Lord, an intimacy empowering me. When I walk with the Spirit, I sense a holy courage and a holy boldness. Don't you? For the things of God, don't you? See, it's not a one-time thing, but it's in a relationship journey with God. As you walk with the Spirit, you can sense the Spirit of God moving in your life, leading in your life. Peter walked by and he sensed the Holy Spirit is going to heal these people. You guys, I've prayed over people and God's healed their bodies. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Does that mean I have the gift of healing? Whew. You walk with the Holy Spirit in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you walk with Him, He gives you these beautiful things like peace. and joy and love, right? The fruits of God's Spirit changing and transforming us. Peter was baptized once. Jesus was baptized once. And he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter's unique. When you look at him, look at who Peter was before and after. See, what happened to Peter? See, let me say this straight up. There is the Passover Peter. Do you know him? The Passover Peter in the upper room. He says, Jesus, I'll never deny you. And then that night he denies him three times. And then he hides. He won't speak up. That's the Passover Peter. Have you noticed the Pentecost Peter? Walking in the Holy Spirit. God healing people through him. He's bold. He's not afraid. They can't get him to be quiet about Jesus. See, what happened to him in those 7 weeks? From a wimp to a warrior in 50 days. From a wimp to a warrior in 50 days. What happened to Peter, people? Do you know the secret? What was it? Holy Spirit changed him. Peter, wait in Jerusalem. Holy Spirit's coming on you. Then you'll be my witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Born again. See, for you and me, we can look at the Peter in the book of Acts and we can admire him. But when we see Peter at Passover, we more identify with him, don't we? See, me in the flesh, I'm Peter at Passover. I'm a follower of Jesus. I've quenched spirits. I'm not right. I'm more focused on myself. When I'm Peter at Pentecost, I have power. When you are the Passover walking in the flesh, Christian, you've quenched the power of God in your life. When the Spirit flows through you, you're the Pentecost, Peter. Which one are you? Which one am I? Be filled. Are you filled? On Tuesday, the leadership team at Woodbridge Community Church was sitting right here on Tuesday night in this room. And we all gathered here. And we were, all this last week, we've just been spending some time going through personal confession in our life. God, is there any wicked way within me? Is there anything in my life that displeases you? For us as a pastoral staff, as a leadership team, going through, God, is there anything in my life that just not makes us right? And just confessing our sin and coming before God. And we were asking God, God, where are you at work? Where are you moving? What's going on in your life? And we gathered in this room and we found at one point during the time when we were here, we began praying for each other as a pastoral staff and a leadership team, asking for the Spirit of God to fall upon us all. God, where are you at work? Where are you moving? What are you doing in the world? And we all pretty much rededicated our lives to Jesus, saying, Lord, you're number one. And we kept asking, saying, we feel as we sense the Spirit of God and what God is doing in the world. What is God doing in the world right now? Anyone? Has the last 2 years been hard? Anyone? Do you think the next 2 years are going to be a cakewalk? Anyone? Do you know what I think? The days of half measures are over. The days of all of us walking in the Spirit must be now. The times for God's people to walk in the power of the Spirit is upon us. For whatever is about to happen tomorrow, the next day, or next week, or next month, or next year, you need to be walking in the power of Pentecost and not in Passover. We need to be Peters of Pentecost. He was the same person. He was just, the Holy Spirit was moving in his life. And we get goosebumps. We just feel like God's calling the church to rededicate their lives to Christ. We as a leadership team feel that God is calling this church, it's time for you to rededicate your life to Jesus. Because what's about to unfold, whatever that is, you need to be really close to Jesus. Jesus says this in John 7:38 and 39, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Does anyone need rivers of living water flowing in your life? Anyone? "But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. But friends, he is glorified now. The Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is upon us. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And the Holy Spirit dwells within me." The Holy Spirit came inside your life the day you accepted Jesus. He's there. Be filled. Be filled. "Pastor Frank, how do I do that?" Confess your sin before God. "Lord, is there any wicked way within me? And lead me in the way everlasting. Test me and try me. Is there anything that's not right?" You know. And don't fight with God. Let it go. "You're right. I'm wrong." Rededicate your life to Jesus. It's you. You're the one that rose from the dead. You're the one that's waiting for me once my heart quits beating. It's you. And I need to live for you. You died for me. I need to live for you. It's a rededication of your life. We feel that God is just whispering at us saying, "Hey guys, I need you to stay real close with me because the world's a tough place. And it might even get a little tougher. And you need to get as close as you can." We feel that God's calling this church to rededicate their life to Jesus. To walk in the power. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound thinking. You need to walk in the power of the Spirit. And as you do, you'll be fine. Ask Peter. You know what happens when you walk in the Spirit? You just sense God's Spirit. You see God at work, God moving, God leading, and all of a sudden you find yourself going, "I'm not afraid to talk to this person about Christ. Man, I wonder what you're doing in that person's life, Lord." You begin to see the wind blowing of the Spirit of God upon the world, and you're being a part of what God is working, what God is moving, what God is doing. Friends, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit by how you choose to live your life. Don't quench Him. So where he's just, you're getting Holy Spirit dribbles coming out of your hose. There's no flow or power. Be filled. Be moving. "Rivers of living water will flow from my people," says Jesus, as we walk in the Spirit. As we were here, we said, "Hey, Pastor Frank, next Sunday, we want to lead the worship in a couple songs." And the leadership team, by the way, where's my leadership team, pastoral staff? Would you please come and stand up here with me? Where are you? There you are. Mike, come here, Debbie, come on. Where are you guys? Doc, you coming up, aren't you? Come on, PV. You guys are kind of timid. PV's going up in the balcony. I think the chows might be up there. Is the chows up yonder? I hope they are. Pastor, for all you up there, Casey, our vice chairman, Pastor Vince is going up. Here's the deal. Yep, where are you? Here's the deal. If you're here today, and we're going to sing two songs, and I just want you to close your heart and worship the Lord, and everything's good between you and Jesus, and maybe as we're worshiping, you might want to ask the Lord, "Lord, as you see me today, is there anything in my life I need to repent of?" Once you go, man, don't fight him in it. Just say, "You're right and I'm wrong." He always is. Just release. And if you're here today and you're saying, "You know what? I need a fresh blowing of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm here today, I need to rededicate my life to Jesus." If that's you in these next two songs, then come up here and let us pray over you. As the leadership team was prayed over on Tuesday night, as the pastoral staff was prayed over on Tuesday night, if that's you and you're just going, you know what? You might be there going, Pastor Frank, I'm good with the Lord. Amen. Would you please pray for all those who come up here? Lord, I pray for that person. Spirit of God, fall on that person. You might be here today going, that's cool. But if you feel you need a fresh blowing of the Spirit, if you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, in these next two songs, come on up and let us pray for you. Does that sound fair? You see where we're going with this? Pastor Frank, you've got kind of personal. I didn't need you to talk to me about my, hey, that's cool. I just want to hear a message and leave. No, man, God's calling and speaking into your life. He's calling you to Himself. God has more for you than you understand or realize. God needs you to be really tight with Him so He can move in your life. He's calling you to Himself. If you need prayer, you come up here in the next couple songs, and then we're going to close. Does that make sense? Let's sing. Let's worship. What's our first song, Josh? Broken Vessels? Open Heaven. Ah, good song, taken from the book of Acts. Let's worship the Lord. God, we just commit to you during this time that we're about to enter into worship before the living God. We are to come into the presence of the Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you would just speak into our hearts and into our lives. As we ask God for the Spirit of God to fall upon this place and to fall upon each and every life here, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us, we pray. Move in us. Equip us. Empower us. Heal us. Protect us. Guide us. Lead us. Direct us. Move in us, Spirit of the living God. Come, we pray, in the name of Jesus.